بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، last chapter we talked about in the explanation of the book of Tawheed was the chapter about the virtue of Tawheed, and Tawheed will expiate some of the sins. What is the virtue or the merit of Tawheed? What are the merits of Tawheed, ya ibadallah? We talked about them last time in the
Declaration of Faith.
The Declaration of Faith. What are the merits of Tawheed? The merit, فضل التوحيد. What? Yes, you suffer the ذنوب. But the author or the writer of the book, he brought an ayah. Are you with me?
Yes.
He brought the ayah that it says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and do not mix with their belief any transgression are the ones who are guided and are the ones who have the security. So what is the merit of Tawheed? Guidance and security. The person who established Tawheed, a person who is receiving the guidance, and he will receive the security. How much guidance and how much security he will receive?
How much guidance, how much security?
Yes.
As long as he obeys Allah.
Depends on the level of Tawheed. Okay, the more Tawheed he has, the more he's going to receive guidance and security. The less Tawheed he has, the less he's going to receive guidance and security. As long as he's not mixing with his Tawheed, shirk. But here in the ayah says ظلم. We say ظلم are three types of ظلم. What are the three types of ظلم, ya Khalid al-Atazi? What are the three types of ظلم? ما هي أنواع الظلم التي تكلمنا عنها؟ Yes. Okay. And the shirk. Very good. The one that is on yourself, is it subject for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the one that is on other, is it subject for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. Ahsan. And the one who is shirk, is it subject for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without repentance? No. If a person dies and he has committed during his life fornication, and he has committed during his life killing, and whatever he has committed during his life, all those evil sins, all of them, even if he could die without repentance, they are subject to the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He might forgive him or he might punish him for those sins. But the person who dies and he has association in his heart, if he dies without repentance, association is not to be forgiven without repentance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive association, but He forgives anything else to whomever Allah wants to forgive. We talked about the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit. And we said that the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, whoever testified that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah without any partners, and Prophet Muhammad is his slave and messenger. Part of believing in Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. What does it imply? What does it imply? ما هي مقتضيات الإيمان بأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ هذا في العبودية، ولكن في الرسالة what does it implies when you justify that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? To follow him. الإيمان برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقتضي المتابعة والانقياد لأوامره. To believe in Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as the messenger, that means a person has to follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and obey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We gave you the example of the person who we said last time, he believed that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, but he did not feel he's obligated to follow the religion of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We gave you this example, and this person, this is represents shirk, because he's not implying, that does not mean he is believing in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also we talked about to believe in Isa as the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the difference in our belief in Isa being the messenger of Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the messenger of Allah?
Different tales that Isa was born by just what by the word of Allah be. The messenger of Allah Prophet was born.
Yeah, but we were talking about believing in their messengerhood, not believing in what is the difference in believing in the messengerhood of Isa and the messengerhood of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's one. Do we have to follow whatever Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has legislated? No. We believe in Isa, but we do not have to follow his rule. لِكُلِّ مِنْكُمْ لِكُلِّ جَعَلْنَا شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. For every nation we made a code of law and a methodology. The methodology and the code of law of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogates, nasakhat, everything else before. So we do not have to follow the legislations of what was legislated before us, unless it agrees with the legislation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said that Isa is the word of Allah and spirit from Allah. Who can shed some light, and what does it mean, spirit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is going to jump as a hero on this one? What does it mean, spirit from? Ruhun min. Blue life from him. But what does it mean, blue life from him? It means spirit from Allah. Does it mean the spirit that is an Isa is passed from the spirit of Allah?
No.
Okay. So from, what does it mean? From the start. قلنا من تكون للابتداء ومن تكون للتبعيض. المن التي هنا وروح منه للابتداء، أي بدأت الروح التي في عيسى ابتدأت من خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى. كما تعلمون أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أن الإنسان يكون في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة و40 يوما علقة و40 يوما مضغة، ثم يأتي الملك فينفخ فيه الروح. فقبل ذلك الإنسان ليس حي، هو لحم، وبعد هذا اللحم تنفخ فيه الروح. It says in the hadith that a person will be 40, he will be up to 120 days, a person will be in his mother's womb before the angel will come and blow the spirit in this And it's not maybe, it's not maybe, it is flesh. And the flesh to be a human. So Isa was created from the word of Allah. And then when the time for the soul to be brought to Isa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that soul and put it in that flesh that was created from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from, even in the English language, it means part of. You say, I drank from the water. That is part of the water. And also from means, in the English language, to start from. You say, I came from Orlando. That is the start point of my travel. This is the word that misguided a lot of the Christians. They say, he's a spirit from Allah, that means he is part of Allah. This is where their misguidance is coming from. They say he's a spirit from Allah, that means he's part of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa la ya'udhu billah min hadha ash-shirk. Whereas from, it means he was created from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it's been a thing, well, and whoever believes that paradise is true and the hellfire is true, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him enter paradise according to his deeds. So the implication of the hadith is, what, who can tell us the implication of the hadith? Because we thought about it last time. That is the hadith. We need the implication of the hadith. You are known as the hadith. We need the implication of it. Whoever has the tawheed, not forgiven. He will enter paradise according to his deed. So if he has a lot of good deeds, his entrance to paradise would be easier. If he has less good deeds, he might be subject to punishment. But here, أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ. We have to understand, none of us will enter paradise just because of his deeds. As Prophet Muhammad said, none of you will enter paradise because of their actions. They said, even you, O Prophet of Allah, he said, even me, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow upon me his forgiveness. So we'll enter paradise because of our action. Not here because, meaning the reason of entering paradise is our action, but because of our action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us and will make us enter paradise. But as long as we have good actions, we're going to receive the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter paradise. That will bring us to the very important point in this hadith, that a person who has tawheed in his heart, he is going to, inshallah, make it to paradise. But how quick he's going to make it to paradise is that it's according to his actions. A person might be put in hellfire for 50,000 years, 60,000 years, God knows how much, he will be burning in the hellfire, then he will be removed from the hellfire to paradise. The goal of Muslims, they want to go to paradise without subjecting themselves to any type of punishment. And the person who thinks otherwise, he could be insane, because no one can put his hand on the stove for 5 minutes. So how come you can do the action and say, it's fine, let me burn in hellfire for some time and then I make it to paradise. Some people think like that. This type of thinking is very sick and it reflects not dignifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, we move to the continuation of this chapter. The continuation of this chapter, the hadith of Uthban, where it was said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. Allah forbid the fire from burning the one who says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, seeking the face of Allah. Allah forbid the fire from burning the one who says, La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, seeking by that the faith of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Seeking the faith of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we have to understand what does it mean to seek the faith of Allah Azza wa Jal. That means to seek to go to paradise. Because we know that the people who go to paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal them, Himself to them, and they will be able to see Him. And even the people on the Day of Judgment, those righteous people on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal Himself to them, and they will see Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qiyamah, كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. He say, but verily, people like that which come quick. But on the Day of Judgment, some faces will be bright, and those faces will be looking at their Lord. If the face is looking at their Lord, that means this must come from the eyes. So a person who wants to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make the dua, اللهم إني أسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. Oh Allah, I'm asking you the joy of looking at your honorable face. They have to have the sincerity in their action. Whoever say La ilaha illallah sincerely and seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make the fire be forbidden from burning this person. And needless to say, a person who says that is going to be a person of piety. He's going to put the statement of his tongue being supported by the statement of his action. And this is very important for us to understand this point, that the statement of our tongue has to be supported by the statement of our actions. And many times the statement of the action defies the statement of the tongue. كثير من الأحيان كلام الحال يناقض كلام المقال. كلام الحال يناقض كلام المقال. A person will come to you and tell you, brother, I love you and I care for you and I really love you and I care for you and if you want anything, I will be at your service. That's what he says in his tongue. And you see him harming you, backbiting you. Whenever you ask him to do a favor, he does not come and respond. He makes promises and he does not fill those promises. Are you going to believe his claim that he makes with his tongue, or are you going to believe what he makes with his action? Definitely, any sane person, he say, your actions are defying what you are saying. You're only blowing smoke in my face, brother. You're not sincere in your statement. Therefore, when a person is saying La ilaha illallah, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to support that by the statement of his action. He cannot be seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in drinking alcohol. He cannot be seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by hopping from one night's club to another. He cannot by seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing all the sinful practices. But a person will be seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by keeping his prayer on time, by studying his religion, by studying Quran, by purifying himself. Every person, we have contamination within ourselves. The contamination of ignorance, the contamination of the jahiliyyah. But we can purify this contamination with the knowledge, with the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he came to us to purify us. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger to us, he said, to purify us. Purify us from what? To be purified from the contamination that we have. And simply by saying the statement of La ilaha illallah, that does not mean we are purified. We have the example of the companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr, before he entered to Islam, he was a man, a tough man, who used to be doing some things that are antisocial, to be described. Then Abu Dharr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to Islam. After he came to Islam, he was not immediately purified. One time he saw a person, and he had a fight with this person. So he said to this person, he was demanding this person, and he told him, "You are the son of the black woman." When the Prophet ﷺ heard him saying that, he told him, "You are a man who has ignorance in him still." The Prophet ﷺ reprimanded Abu Dharr when he heard him saying that. But Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, when he was reprimanded by the Prophet ﷺ, he learned his lesson. Because later on, the Prophet ﷺ told us, if anyone wants to look at the humility of Isa ibn Maryam, let him look at the humility of Abu Dharr. من أراد أن ينظر إلى تواضع عيسى بن مريم فلينظر إلى تواضع أبو ذر. لاحظ الفرق بين قوله إنك امرؤ فيك جاهلية وبين مدح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبو ذر بأنه في تواضعه يشبه عيسى بن مريم. Look at the major difference between the Prophet saying to this companion, "You are a man who has ignorance in him," and telling him after that, after he was purified, whoever wants to come to see the humility of Isa ibn Maryam, let him look at Abu Dharr. So we know that all of us, we need to purify ourselves from the contamination of our soul. Therefore, a person who says, La ilaha illallah, seeking in that the faith of Allah, this has to be supported by the action. The action that is in agreement with the Quran and the Sunnah. A person who does that and supports that by his action, a person who has tawheed, the merit of that tawheed that Allah will forbid the fire from burning this person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid the fire from burning. The second hadith that was brought in this chapter is the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال موسى يا ربي علمني شيئا أذكرك وأدعوك به قال قل يا موسى لا إله إلا الله قال يا ربي كل عبادك يقولون هذا قال يا موسى لو أن السماوات السبع وعامرهن غيري والأرضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله رواه ابن حبان والحاكم وصححه ووافقه الذهبي والبيهقي في الأسماء والصفات وعزاه الهيثمي في المجمع لأبي يعلى وقال رجاله صحيح رجاله وثقوا على ضعف فيهم وفيه دراج بن سمعان أبو السمح وهو ضعيف. So, هذا الحديث فيه رجل ضعيف فهذا يدل على ضعف هذا الحديث. This hadith said by Abi Musa, by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, that Musa said, "O Allah, teach me something, I will remind you, I will remember you with, and call you with." He said, "O Musa, say, La ilaha illallah." He said, "Musa, but O Allah, all the people say that." Because Musa wants something special and unique to him. Allah said, if the seven skies and the seven earth, the seven layers of earth, all of them were in one side of the scale, and La ilaha illallah were in another side of the scale, La ilaha illallah will weigh more than all of that. This hadith was narrated by Ibn Hibban wal-Hakim, but in the commentary here it says this hadith, it has one narrator who is weak in his narration. So that indicates for us that this hadith still has some weakness to it. But the benefit of this hadith, if it was authentic, and of course that this meaning is correct, La ilaha illallah, a person who says it with sincerity, weighs a lot in the scale on the Day of Judgment. And we know from that, from the hadith of the man who has the card. A man, he was judged in the Day of Judgment, and there was 99 files for him, each file the extent of his vision. All of them about his mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Do you have any good deed?" He said, "I don't have any good deed." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "You have one good deed. I will not want to transgress against you." And they brought one card, and on that card it was said, La ilaha illallah. And the man said, what will that card do? So all the files were put in one side of the scale, and the card was put in the other side of the scale, and the card was heavier than all of those things. And we know on the day of judgment, our good deeds and bad deeds will be put in the scale. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those whose scales are heavy with good deeds in that time. So having said that, we move to the second hadith that also tells us about the same benefit, the benefit of tawheed, and how a person who has tawheed, he will be worthy of getting his sin forgiven. The hadith, رواه الترمذي وحسنه عن أنس قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. It says, this hadith says, that was narrated by Anas, he said, I heard the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O son of Adam, if you come in the day of judgment with the earth equivalency of mistakes, I'm gonna come, but you come at that moment and you do not have any association with me, I will bring equivalency of it in forgiveness. So if a person on the day of judgment, he dies with tawheed, dies with the statement of La ilaha illallah, he does not have any association. Now remember, association, when we mention association, it refers to three types of association. It refers to the major, it refers to the minor, and it refers to the hidden. And the hidden comes with other two branches. Riya, which is showing off, and nifaq, which is hypocrisy. Whoever dies without association, but even if he has a lot of mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his mistake. Having said that, this hadith should never be understood that is a confession for us to sin. Some people read those ahadith and they say, then we can sin. And they can read another hadith, that the hadith where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو لم تذنبوا لذهب الله بكم وأتى بقوم آخرين فأذنبوا فيستغفر الله فيغفر لهم. It says, if you did not make sin, Allah will remove you. And Allah will bring different people, and those people will make sin, and they will seek the forgiveness of Allah, and Allah will forgive them. So a person who has a weird way of thinking, if they see, akhi, I have to sin, because I do not sin, Allah will take me away. People will think like that. Say, I have to sin now, because Allah said, if you do not sin, we're going to take you away. So now we have to sin. It's a mandatory upon us to sin. Some people understand this hadith that a concession for us to sin. Of course, this is an ill and sick understanding, and it reflects ignorance in the religion, and it reflects ignorance in knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, we tell that person, if you do not sin and Allah will take you, where will He take you? To the hellfire or to paradise? To paradise. So do not sin and be removed to paradise, inshaAllah. That's one. Secondly, this hadith, Allah is not legislating for us to sin. Because إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي. Because Allah ordained justice, and Allah ordained goodness, and Allah ordained to be good to your relatives, and Allah forbid major sin and major crime and transgression. So this hadith is not legislating for us to sin, but the hadith tells us about one benefit of knowing the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, we know that there is 99 names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of the names of Allah is the Ghafoor, forgiver. This name has to have effect. If there was no sin, what would be the reason for Allah to name Himself Al-Ghafoor? How can we realize the meaning of this name? Can we be able to realize the meaning of this name if there was no sin? There would be no benefit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to call Himself Al-Ghafoor if there was no forgiveness to be given. Therefore, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitated that sins will take place from the people. But that out of them being human and every son of Adam is, will make mistake. And if they make mistake and seek the forgiveness of Allah,